welcome to another episode of Meeting Pros. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and as usual, I'm with my lovely co-host, Jessica Park. Hey, Jessica.
Hey, Kevin. How's it going?
Good. What's new in your world? Anything new?
Oh, I made it out to the lake this weekend. I got to go sailing.
You went sailing?
It has rained. I swear every Sunday I've had off for like the last 2 months, and this past Sunday was Father's Day, so figured why not?
Why not? So what do you sail those one rigs, or you do it all yourself, or?
Well, yeah, I went out with a few friends of mine.
A few friends, so they all sail too?
Yeah. Well, no.
No, not at all. So
no, but they take orders pretty well.
They take orders pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like an absolute blast. Well, as you know, I'm still in the process of moving, which is miserable. I absolutely hate it. It's terrible. It won't be as bad as when I moved to New York, but I'm moving across down to West Midtown. So I'm
but once you're there, you'll be so happy.
I know. I'm really excited. I'm right across from a Four Seasons, so I can just go get beer whenever I want. Really nice beers. So
nice.
I'm really excited about that. So as usual, we have a great show today. Who do you bring in the studio with us today?
Today I brought in Autumn Johnson and Anna Williams, both with GEP Destination Management. It's a global events partner. And also I brought in Rufin Chenenga with Poplar and Gloria Moore with her own 24 Karat Gold events.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You did so good with the names. I'm very impressed.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if they're
I don't think anyone's complaining. Well, Gloria, I think we're going to start with you. Tell us a little bit about your business and yourself.
Sure. It's Gloria Moore, and my company is 24 Karat Gold, LLC, and we've been in business since about 2008 in this iteration of the company. And basically what we're doing is working with C-level executives and corporations to help them meet their career goals through professional positioning. And professional positioning is basically showing them, helping them determine how to strategically network both traditional and social media, via social media. We help them decide exactly how to spend their time most effectively to meet their career goals. Recently, actually a few weeks ago, we started offering this particular service we call The Right Place at the Right Time.
I like that.
And thank you. And we're now offering it to entrepreneurs and professionals.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about how do you teach these executives social media? I feel like that's a challenge. I talk to a lot of executives on a weekly basis, and social media is the bane of their existence. All they know is they want to have it all. They want their Twitter. They want their Facebook, all that kind of stuff. So how do you really teach them how to position themselves? Because they're like, well, I have this intern and that intern and that intern, and now I'm on social media.
You know, it's very you're exactly right. It's a challenge. They want to know what it is. They want to know how it's going to benefit them. But frankly, they don't have the time always to do it. So we have an answer for that, a solution for that. We do it for them. We have a real good way of learning your voice so that we can determine what it is you need to be saying to your audience. And again, for a corporate executive, it's a little different than for an entrepreneur who's targeting a particular audience.
Definitely.
So their professional positioning is heavy on community, being involved in the community, both face-to-face and through social media. And LinkedIn is very important to them, where it may not be as important to, say, a retailer. So we really customize what they are trying to accomplish or the media that they will use, based on what they're trying to accomplish and how much time they have to spend on it. But we also program what they need, and we can do that for them.
Yeah, because all the platforms aren't for everybody. It's very important. I mean, I'm sure some companies will say, you need all of this.
No.
But it's certainly not, you know, Pinterest isn't for everyone. And
everybody thinks it is.
They do. I know. I wish they'd stop pinning random stuff on there. Kind of takes away from all the pretty stuff.
Exactly.
I have never, ever recommended to a C-level executive that they get on Pinterest.
Really?
Never. I don't anticipate that. I don't even recommend Instagram. I mean, there are just a couple of things.
The essentials.
That they need to be involved in. And again, it's from a community-based standpoint, or if they're interested in pursuing politics in the future, there are very specific things they have to participate in, mm-hmm. online and face-to-face.
Yeah, just ask Anthony Weiner. So.
Yeah, right. Be careful what you're doing.
Right. Do you encourage the companies to continue to stay involved with the social media, or do you hand it over 100% to you?
We want them to stay involved. That's right. Why there's a plan. We meet every 4 to 6 weeks to update the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And some things are pre-scheduled. And I'll make a point about pre-scheduling, like your tweets and your Facebook updates and so forth. When a crisis happens,
that you have to answer right away. That happens in the event industry all the time.
Yeah. You have to go back and unschedule things that are inappropriate to be posting or tweeting
mm-hmm.
during, you know, the Boston Marathon crisis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things I'll just point out, that just because it's scheduled, and or even if you're doing it yourself, you do have to be aware of what's going on in the world.
Definitely.
At the same time.
So
Social Media Day is a week from today.
Yes.
I bet you're excited about that.
I am. You know, this is the fourth year that Social Media Day has been celebrated nationally, and I think the third year that it's been here in Atlanta. And you may be familiar with Mashable.com.
Mm-hmm.
Mashable is the international site for information, news, what's going on with the digital community.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not there, you need to go there if you're interested in knowing what's happening in cyberspace, so to speak. And so this really started out as a big party.
Mm-hmm.
And
really? I can't imagine.
It's a big party,
mm-hmm.
and that's good. You know, you have to celebrate achievements at some point, kind of let your hair down. You get a great chance to network.
So you guys actually meet at this party, or are you guys all on your social media, like, posting pictures with champagne glasses?
All of the above, yes. But, you know, it's an actual party, and
awesome.
Every city determines how they want to support it. In Atlanta, we're actually supporting Social Media Day on June 27th. I believe
okay.
that's next Thursday.
Thursday, yeah.
But the national day is June 30th, and it's next Sunday. So you get a chance to do doubles. So just a little different things going on in
mm-hmm.
different cities, but all during this week.
Can anyone be involved, or is there some kind of protocol I need to go through? Do I have to have a certain amount of Twitter followers? What?
Absolutely not. Everybody's invited. You know, obviously the people that are most interested are ones that are working in the industry.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Or sort of supporting the industry or being
sure.
supported by the industry.
Right.
So you get to, you know, it's one of those times when you're networking within your industry, you're not really out there trying to find clients.
Awesome. Well, here's the big question. I love the name of your company. How did you come up with 24 Karat Gold?
You know, we got lucky, number one, because we didn't think we were going to be able to.
I wouldn't think that. I thought that would be already gone by now. So
we did, too, and we tried all kinds of iterations of the name. But what we were trying to do when we first started the company, again, we wanted it very high level. We wanted people to think luxury, to think, and actually the tagline's the necessary luxury. But we really started focusing on lifestyle management,
mm-hmm.
and we needed something that said best.
Okay. Well, I heard a rumor that you guys are hosting the Atlanta book signing. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. Aliza Sherman and Danielle Smith are probably two of the most popular women in the digital community. As a matter of fact, I think Forbes and Fortune magazine listed Lisa as one of the most influential women in technology at
wow.
least 2 or 3
wow.
years straight. She's written, this is her 10th book that's coming out, just came out on the 17th, called Social Media Engagement for Dummies. So she and this is the second book she and Danielle have written together. But like I said, it's Alisa's 10th book. And this is going to be my third time, and really 3 iterations of my company, if you can believe that, have hosted book signings for Alisa. So when this new book was coming out, we immediately said, can we host a book signing for you? Come here on your book tour. And this is a little bit more than just a book tour. She is. She and Danielle are really going around the nation campaigning for social media engagement, really hoping to get people to understand how necessary it is
mm-hmm.
for whatever you're doing,
mm-hmm.
and that you do it thoughtfully and meaningfully. so that, again, as we mentioned earlier about, you know, every network and every application and resource and social media is not for everyone. And so that's part of their message. But they'll be here on the 30th, and their sponsors are going to be providing us some free wine through the Wine Sisterhood.
Not bad. Free wine.
Cabot Creamery is doing cheese for us.
Yum.
And Atlanta Tech Village.
Oh, I love that. We've had David Cummings on the show, and we've had a bunch of the different tech startups. I'm a huge proponent of Atlanta Tech Village.
I have not been there. I understand it's been there a year. I looked at all the pictures, and what a fantastic site for Atlanta.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
I love these startup incubators. They're absolutely amazing.
So that's where they are hosting, and other co-working kind of places are hosting throughout the nation. But we are really going to be lucky to have those two women here in Atlanta available to entrepreneurs and professionals to come hear them talk about social media management, engagement, and how it's done best.
Mm-hmm. Well, we all know how important it is here, but you have those naysayers out there that say this is just a fad. It won't be around that long. Just watch it. It's going to go out the window. What do you have to say about that?
Well, you know, I'll tell you a quick story. Before I became an entrepreneur, I worked at Bell South, which is now AT&T. But Bell South, as their regional marketing manager, and I was asked to help them in 1995 determine if they should get into long distance. Well, 1995 is when I discovered the internet, and the whole task force decided, yeah, go ahead and buy MCI or Sprint or somebody and get into long distance, but it's just going to be a commodity. What you want to do is get involved in the internet, offer internet service.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm.
And the board of directors at that time said, you know, it's a fad. It's going to be like CB radio. Honestly.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They went into long distance instead, about 3 years too late, but they really never got into the internet business.
Well, Mindspring,
Earthlink, all those other companies really were out there first. And so, no, social media is definitely not going to be CB radio or a fad. No. We're all invested in it now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, I have a theory that before long, but definitely by the time I have children, they're going to be getting degrees in social media. I've got my master's in social media. Because right now it's sort of a wild west. But it is.
There are actually smart universities out there that are jumping out there now. And, of course, the course is online. And literally starting to offer degrees. In social media.
And they should. And there's schools offering degrees in entrepreneurship now,
absolutely.
Which is very fun.
Right. Yeah. That's a great course to take, mm-hmm. I think.
Definitely.
Absolutely. I mean, we do that for every other kind of profession. And if people are going to be professional social media mavens and experts, like I call myself, then we need to make sure that we've got the education to do it. And I'm an internet fanatic, and I'm just obsessive about social media. I love all of it. But I also understand you have to apply it mm-hmm. appropriately.
Well, what tips would you have for entrepreneurs out there about social media engagement?
Well, the first thing is you have to find out where your audience is. And if they're not on Pinterest, you don't need to be there. Mm-hmm. I love Pinterest, though. You know, nothing against Pinterest. But if they're not on Instagram and you're not going to be really tied to your cell phone or your smartphone, then you don't want to do Instagram because that's not going to be working for you. So you've got to find where your audience is, and then you've got to really find out how they want to communicate with you. They may really want to communicate with you via email, and you have to ask them. So email is social media.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the first one, but there are forums, there are newsletters, there are all kinds of ways. There's YouTube, but you know, if your audience isn't on YouTube, then you don't want to be there just to be there. Another thing is being providing meaningful information to them, not just the sales pitch. And a lot of new businesses using social media believe it's a one-way conversation. Well, a one-way.
Hopefully it isn't.
Yeah.
If you're doing it right.
But I promise you, a lot of us aren't doing it right.
Yeah.
We really just post things to sell whatever it is we're trying to sell.
Yeah. And content is definitely key, I would say.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. But it has to be a conversation, and that's what engagement is about. It's act, interact, react. You've got to pull those people in some way because you're trying to build trust and relationships, and particularly if you're providing services. You know, products they can see and they can touch and either like it or they don't. But services are a little bit different. So I recommend, and the book actually talks about how to update your information. So if you have, you know, did your LinkedIn page back 2 years ago, it's probably time to update it.
All right. Well, Gloria, tell our listeners how they can reach out to you and contact you, and where can they get this book also? I think that'd be great information.
First of all, you probably want to come to the event on the 30th because we're going to give away free books. And if you go to my LinkedIn page, which is linkedin.com/busywoman, BIZIWOMAN, I will make sure you get all the information. And I can give you the email address as well. It's gwmoore@24-gold.com. And that's 24-karat-gold.com.
Well, thank you so much for being on and giving us all that great information.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Well, next up on Meeting Pros, we have with GEP Destination Management, Anna Williams and Autumn Johnson. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for having us.
All right. Well, I love destination management companies. I have a personal space in my heart for them, but let our listeners know what a destination management company is and what you guys do.
Absolutely. I'll tell you a little bit about GEP itself first, and then I'll kind of clear up what a destination management company is for people who don't know. But GEP stands for Global Event Partners. Our corporate headquarters is in Washington, D.C., and we are one of the only DMCs that is actually globally owned. So we have 8 offices in the U.S. that are GEP owned, but we have 60 plus franchise partners. So you'll find us in most major cities in the U.S. And we also have international partners that sit under the GEP flag. And what a destination management company is and what we do is really we're experts on the city. So a meeting coming to Atlanta, say they've already chosen their hotel and they're having a meeting at XYZ Hotel, ABC company, they would call us to do every other accessory to their meeting. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of a one-stop shop. We become the extension of their meeting planning team. And, you know, most meeting planners coming to Atlanta either haven't been here in a long time or really just don't know a lot about the city. So they'll come to us to find trusted vendors, everything from something as simple to a photographer and some linens or, you know, some napkins to spruce up their decor to a large venue that can, you know, house 10,000 people plus. So there's no event too small or too large. And we're really a one-stop shop. They sign one contract with us. We go to 10 different vendors for them. So we hire a photographer for them. We hire, you know, 10 restaurants for them to go do a dine around. We come up with a full theme. We do decor, linens, florals, and then we host an offsite event for them and we do transportation for them. So we really become an extension of their team. And the thing that we do here is we've worked with these vendors a lot. We have trusted relationships, so we point them in the right direction, whereas if they just kind of search the internet and came up with a restaurant on their own, it may be somebody that we've never worked with. Or
they may not be open once they finally get
exactly, exactly. I mean, restaurants open and close every day. Definitely. So, you know, so we become that one-stop shop for them. So that's...
Do you do any advertising for their events if they need that?
We certainly can. You know, we can hire a marketing company. We have a marketing manager of our own that can come up with that for them. So again, there's really not much we can't do.
You guys can do it all.
And not many vendors that we haven't worked with in Atlanta. So.
Okay. Well, speak to maybe a client engagement for me. How do clients find you guys? And I'm sure it helps that you guys are global, but.
Absolutely. So we have really good relationships with a lot of our hoteliers as well. So a lot of our business comes from hotel referrals.
Yeah.
You know, if a client has already booked within a hotel, that sales manager can refer us just based on the relationships that we have. They can find us online at www.gepdmc.com. They can find us on Facebook. We're slowly starting to get into Instagram. So we're also using a lot of the social media.
Mm-hmm.
We work with the Atlanta Convention and Visitors Bureau, so we get referrals through them. And because GEP is a global organization, we have a couple of national sales managers that have relationships with some of these big companies. So when they're coming to Atlanta, sometimes we'll get that lead or that request for proposal directly from one of our national sales managers. So there's a lot of ways you can find us.
Well, other than being national, how do you guys separate yourself from the other destination management companies?
Absolutely. We're actually the oldest destination management company in Atlanta.
Wow.
So we've been here since the 60s. We were the original tour gals. So before there was a destination management company, we were just doing tours in the city, and we still have one of the original tour gals working in our office.
Wow.
Carolyn Lyons. So she's still with us, still does tours for us. And the other thing is we have global support. So there's no event too large for us.
Mm-hmm.
If our office can't handle it, we'll fly in all 7 of our other offices. They will help us handle it. We can feed on the experience and past events that some of these offices have hosted, which a lot of the other DMCs can't say. So if our DC office has hosted a program and that program is going to be in Atlanta the next year, we already know some of the things that client prefers. We already know some of the things they like. So we've kind of got a bigger backbone, I guess.
Well, that's awesome. As you guys really are, it really is a relationship business. Take away all the technical stuff. It's just another relationship business.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
So what changes do you see in the marketplace for this? I think it's a really interesting, malleable concept that keeps evolving.
Absolutely. And it's so great to be here, everybody. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for being here.
I would say the biggest change that we've seen recently is just the short-term nature of the business. I have a site visit tomorrow that I learned about yesterday for an event that's just in a couple months. We could have a 300-person event signing off on a contract that's actually going to happen in October, where normally we have a little bit more time to do some planning. Mm-hmm. So that's been a challenge and a good way for us to be more proactive in going out into the city and working with our vendors and building relationships to create more of an experience that we can have already in our pockets and in our tool shed.
Definitely.
Basically to bring out and say, hey, look, this is something that we did at this brand new restaurant with the chef in their rooftop garden or something like that.
Yeah.
So definitely the big change, I would say, number one, is the short-term nature of the business. So we're sharpening our tool shed. So come to us because we know exactly what we can do amazing with no time for planning because we already have it planned out.
You already have it planned out. I love that. It's like a personal store. I just go in, shop. Oh, I want that event right there.
Yeah.
roll it out. That's awesome. So what's the biggest event that you guys do? What's the smallest event? Like, what's the range? Like, could Jessica and I just have a personal, just us radio host event by ourselves at some restaurant? Maybe a couple of our friends?
You absolutely could. And, there's been, I tell everybody, there's really nothing too small or too large. I've had something as simple as a client that is a repeat client that knows anytime she's coming to Atlanta, she can reach out to me for anything. And all she's needed is 100 specialty colored napkins for a ballroom dinner that they had in a hotel. But we've also done 10,000 people shuttling through a citywide convention and large offsite events at Centennial Olympic Park with entertainment, decor, event staffing, registration. We can do everything from your event, from creating the concept all the way into the final execution and then past, or we can do something just a little providing some event staff at an event that perhaps you don't have enough people that you can bring in, or you don't want to fly people in from Seattle for an event. Rather, you'll use an expert that's already worked in the city and in the venue. So really, it's kind of whatever comes our way, we can do it.
Really? So you guys do conventions and trade shows also?
Absolutely.
Business events, they do everything, Jessica.
I know. It's good. They're one-stop shop. I think that's a huge draw, too, to make it an easy experience. And the relationships, because you have to maintain excellent relationships with your vendors so that you can count on them.
Absolutely.
So that's very important, too.
Yes. Yeah, vendor relationships very important, especially in the meeting business and especially in your guys' business. Because if you can't rely on a vendor to be there at a certain time, it definitely everything can fall apart.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Speaking of that, do you guys have any funny stories or any kind of stories? Because I was in the video world for many years, and we always had a saying that if it could go wrong, it normally would go wrong. And I know you guys are always prepared for it, though, but I just would love to hear a story.
Well, we try to not have anything go wrong.
But we try not to have any stories, right?
Unfortunately, you can't prevent it. We did a FAM trip with the Atlanta Convention and Visitors Bureau, and that's a familiarization trip where we brought in 20 of the top meeting planners around the country that potentially have convention business for Atlanta. So we are trying to sell the city.
Yeah.
We have to show it as best as possible. We have to showcase everything. So we started out with a toast at the W downtown overlooking all of Centennial Olympic Park. It was beautiful weather. We went to Two Urban Licks for dinner.
I love Two Urban Licks.
We love Two Urban Licks. We had the private room. The roof was off. And then the next event was supposed to be at Olmsted, where we brought in a DJ, a flair bartender, a virtual graffiti wall, and the bus leaving Two Urban Licks broke down.
Oh.
So Autumn quickly jumped onto the bus while we waited for the second bus to come and did some Atlanta trivia for the clients. So we certainly can think on our feet. And
you guys are like superheroes.
And compensate. Awesome. But another bus did come about 15, 20 minutes later because our vendors are always prepared for something like that
sure.
to happen. So we can overcome challenges like that really quickly and do a little trivia in the meantime.
That's great.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk about the most important part of the story, a virtual graffiti wall. What's that?
It's actually one of our fantastic vendors has a virtual graffiti wall. It's very cool. I would love to be able to provide a video or something to put on where our listeners can see
Definitely.
What this is.
I've seen it. It's just very cool. It's very cool. They have like virtual spray cans. What? You actually spray paint on the wall. Yeah. You add hair to like characters and yeah.
So basically you have a green screen that you go and your guests at your event can go and stand in front of, take a picture and then kind of pick the backdrop. So the backdrop that we had at the FAM trip was a backdrop of Atlanta, of course.
Awesome.
Cool. And it's very cool. You can use the virtual can. It's almost like a little monitor pointer, if you will, and choose different colors or, I mean, we had a boat in the middle of downtown because we had a picture of a boat that we put on. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of fun and it's really interactive and it's a unique experience where you can have takeaway photos instead of just getting into a photo booth or having
your props and stuff. But mm-hmm. that is very cool.
Interactive. Yeah. It was a hit.
I love it.
Team building.
I'm sold right there.
Right?
So what trends are you guys seeing right here? It's summertime. What trends are you guys seeing for events?
So it's interesting, but a lot of things come back full circle several decades later. So we're seeing a lot coming back from the Prohibition era. And
I've seen that. A bunch of speakeasies to open up everywhere.
Speakeasies with some flapper dancers and
awesome.
Serving some moonshine and, you know, all the
burlesque.
Food secretly having all the food secretly having some alcohol hidden in there.
Yeah.
But big band and jazz lounge themes, we've done a lot of that. And then with the release of The Great Gatsby, we got with couple of our vendors, our decor companies and our catering companies, and we came up with a huge Great Gatsby theme that
nice.
We can just offer up on a plate to one of our clients. It's already designed and priced out. So a lot of things coming back around, but also we're seeing a lot more green movement. Obviously everybody's heard about that. So sometimes centerpieces are going from, you know, florals, what's in season are going sometimes to plants that
mm-hmm.
they can reuse for another event or also just props,
mm-hmm.
Prop type centerpieces. So, you know, sticking with the green movement there, but yeah, definitely things coming back around that used to be
it's
popular.
Weird how
with
that
them.
Happens.
Funny how that happens. Mm-hmm. Bell bottom.
Yeah. everyone thinks of bell bottom.
Yeah.
So, as I understand it, you guys don't just do parties for these companies and stuff. You'll design anything they want. Do you guys do any kind of team building activities? I know that's really big right now in the industry. Companies want to get their teams to work better together. They make it more efficient. So, do you guys offer any services like that?
Absolutely do. We have a full list of team building ideas that we've already come up with. But, of course, everybody wants something that's completely their own.
Right.
So, people come to us to customize a team building event for them. And a lot of what we're seeing is scavenger hunts.
Really?
We're doing all that. And depending on what neighborhood their hotel is in, we'll customize a scavenger hunt within that neighborhood.
Oh, that's so cool.
So we try to keep it safe in walking distance, but we did one recently with GE in the Virginia Highlands. That was successful, and you can turn it into a scavenger hunt / you know, bar crawl, something like that. Minute to Win It has been really popular. That's something really easy that you can do inside the hotel without
mm-hmm.
leaving the hotel. We've got that fully put together. But really, scavenger hunts are
scavenger hunts are a thing.
Murder mysteries.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
And then also CSR groups, community and social responsibility. We can do team building based around that. So you can do bike builds that will go to Boys and Girls Club of America, or basket builds, or Habitat for Humanity. I mean, Atlanta is one of the top cities in the country for nonprofit groups, nonprofit
mm-hmm.
organizations. So if people want to do some team building where they're giving back, we can also customize that for them.
Well, speaking of trends that come back. Do you think the trust falls ever? Do you guys do the trust fall? You know that?
We try to keep it as safe as possible.
As safe as possible. All right. Well, let our listeners know how they can reach out to you. And I also would love to know any new venues or restaurants. I'm a big foodie here, and I know you guys have the connect. So.
Absolutely. So I actually came from the restaurant side of the industry.
Ooh.
I was in the restaurant side of the industry for 7 years. And so that's how I got to meet a lot of people in the hospitality industry. And it's really great that everyone is so connected here. And that's made being in a DMC role just so exciting because now I get to sell the whole city. So I'm working in all the restaurants and all the venues. And there's new things all happening in Atlanta all the time and all over the place. Some of the most exciting big venues that are opening, you've probably all heard about, but the College Football Hall of Fame,
yes,
and the Civil and Human Rights Museum, mm-hmm, have both broken ground and will open next year, 2014, with some excellent venue spaces. Downtown in the heart of Atlanta, where our groups that are coming in for those citywide staying in the downtown Big Six hotels can just walk to. We also have a Ferrisville coming.
Wait, really? Cool. Is it going to be like a permanent fixture?
Oh, that's right, like the
fixture?
One in London.
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah. So it's not a permanent fixture. Okay. It will just be here for a contracted period of time.
It's like the Olympics.
Yeah. But it'll be a lot of fun. I think it's $12 for a ride, so it's really reasonable. I think it will be a great way to see the city and just do something extra
a
special
romantic
when you're downtown.
Date, yes.
Oh, I like the way you're thinking.
Mm-hmm. It'll actually be here by the end of June, so we'll see it at the end of this month.
All right, I'll surprise my girlfriend. I know nothing about it, but she doesn't listen to my radio show, so.
You might need to work on that, too.
Exactly.
We have a lot of new restaurants opening as well. One of my favorites, Rocket Farm Group, who also has JCT Kitchen.
Ooh, yes.
And 246 in Decatur. They and the Optimist, which is a great seafood restaurant in West Midtown.
I'm walking distance from my new apartment.
Nice. Fantastic. You moved to a great neighborhood,
yes,
by the way. So that actually they're opening where Nava used to be in Buckhead, called King and Duke. Actually, they just opened this past month.
Okay.
Went there. It's great. They have like over 20-foot oven. They're basically not using gas. They're grilling everything. And it's just phenomenal. The venue is great, too. They've got some private spaces. Also, Gun Show.
Yes, I love Gun Show. We had, I think we had the guy on that was the owner. On
Kevin
the
Gillespie?
Show. Yes.
Wonderful. So. Yeah, so he has Woodfire Grill, but he just opened over in Glenwood Park, which is kind of behind Grant Park. It's very accessible, super easy to get to, especially if you're going to a Braves game. It's
coolest
like
concept,
right there.
Too.
Uh-huh. And it's dim sum style in a way where you just, you go in, you don't have a traditional menu, and you can kind of pick and choose the different plates that are available that day.
Mm-hmm. It's more southern fare, though, so it's really awesome.
Yeah, nice. I'm really excited that restaurants and chefs are kind of going this way, because it is a trend that we've seen in the events industry as well. People are coming to Atlanta that have been coming here every other year for their convention for 10 years, and they're wanting something new. They're wanting experiences. They're wanting, you know, not just your regular dining experience. So they reach out to us to know the cool new restaurants and venues, but also to create experiences. And, I mean, I'm working with Alma Casina downtown for a Herradura tasting in October for groups, where we have the distiller coming in from Mexico. And it's the restaurant side is so exciting, and I'm glad to know that Atlanta is continually growing and supporting these farmers and chef-owned restaurants. We're number 4 in the nation for chef-owned restaurants right now. So
wow,
that's
let's
great.
Keep it going.
Definitely.
Yeah,
well,
I didn't know that.
I can hear the passion in your guys' voice. So yeah, I know you love what you guys do. How can people reach out and contact you guys?
Absolutely. You can find us at www.gep, that's Global Event Partners, gepdmc.com. You can find us on our Facebook page for GEP Atlanta. You can call us at 404-443-5959. You can find us pounding the pavement constantly. Happy hours, networking events, we'll probably be there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
All right. Last but definitely not least, we have Rufin. I'm going to let you pronounce your last name for me.
Oh, no problem. It's Chinunga.
Chinunga. And you're with Papier?
Poplar.
Poplar.
Poplar. Kind of
okay.
Like Doppler, but with a
yes,
P.
Poplar. All right. Well, tell me a little about Poplar.
Yeah. So Poplar is a startup, actually about 2 months old. And it's a web application for users to discover unique pop-up experiences in unexpected places.
That's awesome. Well, give us an example.
Sure. So you might be familiar with Halloween stores, you know, pop-up stores.
Oh, definitely.
Supper clubs or food trucks are pop-up experiences. So anything that's temporary here today, gone tomorrow or in a week or a month or so.
So how does this work? Is it like on my iPhone? I'm walking through an area that has one of these pop-up stores and my phone, I'm like searching and it pops up on my phone, or how does it work?
Yeah. So we're looking to launch end of this month, early next month. But when we'll be open, you'll be able to go to the site and essentially get a listing of pop-up experiences all over the world. So you can filter and say, you know, I'm currently in Atlanta. I want to see pop-up restaurants happening today. And it'll kind of filter and show you the listing of pop-ups that you can attend and go check out.
Awesome. Does it give you any special deals with those pop-ups or anything? Or?
I'm sure that, you know, it'll be based on the different companies and vendors and, you know, to what they want to offer. But typically, it's all about the surprise element, the exclusivity, just being able to be in the know and know that there is something going on that everybody doesn't know about.
I love that. I love that right there. We have the speakeasies that are all hidden. Now we have these pop-up stores that would be hidden. So let's talk a little bit about, I would love to know about your background and how you got into the startup space and how you feel about how the startup companies are starting to pop up in Atlanta and if
sure.
that's really built.
So I went to University of Georgia. Go Dogs. My background was computer science and I was, you know, marketing as well. So coming out of school, came back and did a lot of consulting and marketing, consulted with a lot of popular nightclubs here in the area, worked with a lot of corporate brands who came in town and needed to do some promotions and things of that nature. So, you know, this idea really came from my experience and background over the years and just seeing the trend with pop-ups happening globally. And, you know, it's a challenge to really be able to find out about pop-ups because if you're not in that circle, you're really not going to find out, you know, where they are, when they're happening. So actually pitched this idea to a competition called Startup Weekend, which is a global event sponsored by the Kauffman Foundation.
Awesome.
Got second place and it's been a roller coaster since then. I feel like I'm still part of Startup Weekend, actually. So,
are you guys working with any of the startup incubators that we talked about earlier, like Hypopotamus, Over the Biltmore, or Atlanta Tech Village?
Yes, definitely. I'm very ingrained in that community. I actually work out of a co-work space called Next Atlanta.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of them.
Which used to be called the Hub Atlanta, but now it's called Next. But also have worked, you know, worked out of Hypopotamus, you know, really great community. Atlanta Tech Village is also a great area. The Atlanta Tech community is really booming right now.
Yeah.
It's a lot of great companies that's flourishing and, you know, a lot of exciting companies that you'll be hearing about soon.
Well, definitely. Do you think, I know we have a lot here and we have Georgia Tech. I know you probably don't like Georgia Tech, but they bring out a lot of great tech people. Do you think we're going to be attracting some of the VC and angel investors like San Francisco have, or are we going to keep getting them poached and keep losing them?
I mean, I hope so. I mean, I think that, you know, that it's definitely some VCs that see the opportunity in Atlanta and are starting to really pay attention. And I really hope that it continues to grow. So, you know, we actually were fortunate to receive investment after we pitched at Startup Weekend. And, you know, it's typically not the norm to get it so quick, but, you know, hopefully it happens much sooner for other people and other companies that are sprouting up.
So can you explain the history of pop-ups and how they used to advertise before they had this great technology that's coming out soon?
Well, pop-ups go way back in history. You know, markets, food markets, farmers markets, you know, are considered pop-up experiences. And recently, I would say probably in early 2000, a company called Vacant out of New York is kind of known for being the company that kind of did the first pop-up experience.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask what they did for that experience, how they handled it.
Well, they created a pop-up store in New York. I think it was a fashion store or something like that. And really were, you know, went and found a temporary space. And it was just a unique experience for a day or two. And, you know, you could attend and see what kind of new products were being introduced and have that experience. And it's grown from there to where you have, you know, London has a pop-up box cart mall. So these shipping containers are stuck together and they're actually a pop-up mall.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
On one of our last shows, Kelly Flannoy, PR, was mentioning doing pop-up fashion shows in the park.
Yeah.
That they're very popular, that she's really been doing quite a few of those. They don't want to have a traditional fashion show. They want to have something that everybody feels like, oh, I'm seeing something that not everybody else is seeing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And even, you know, from a retail standpoint, you know, they're looking at pop-ups as like the future of retail.
Oh, definitely.
You know, because you have a lot of entrepreneurs, not just from a tech standpoint, but, you know, people creating their own products and, you know, wanting to find an avenue to still have a presence from a retail standpoint. So this is a great way for these small companies that, you know, have great products and are building a following to have a retail presence but not have the large financial investment to make.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they can actually compete with their bigger competitors, but they don't actually have to have a local store space, which is really cool.
Exactly.
They can sell online and then just do these markets on the weekend. I see it often, too. I do desserts, so I see it often with bakeries.
Yep.
There are lots of kitchens that don't necessarily operate as kitchens full-time, and they rent out the space for bakers to come in and make these items for markets. And I mean, I even think that, Tupperware parties were pop-ups back in the day. I mean, all of it's been around forever.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, yeah.
I think this is really unique. When I lived in New York, I dealt with pop-ups a lot because they have a lot of them. My favorite was there was this food cart on Twitter. The cops wanted to shut them down and everything because they weren't paying any cost for having a building. But they would, like, about 45 minutes before lunch, they'd be like, I'm going to be at this cross street and this cross street. And if you didn't get there in time, there was a line just out there. And they had some of the best burgers absolutely ever.
Yeah.
So are you guys going to be integrating Poplar with any kind of social media or –
Yeah, so you know our website will be integrated with all the social media. So I'm sure get an invitation from one of your friends that signs up with us. And right now we're on Twitter right now, POPPLR, so at POPPLR, and we're in stealth mode still. So you're not gonna find too much about Poplar, but I'm sure you'll definitely soon in the next month or so.
Definitely. Yeah. Maybe we can do pop-up radio shows.
Oh, that would be awesome.
In the park.
Definitely. I'm game.
Yeah, that would be awesome. We actually, I just got an email on my way here for a very well-known pop-up flash dinner that is happening all over the world. Can't tell you what it is.
Nice.
But, you know, this is going to be really exciting for Atlanta. They've been doing it all over every continent, and Atlanta is actually one of the next cities that we'll be doing in September. So.
And you said it's a food event?
Cool. I love it.
It's going to be a flash dinner. So you'll hear about it the day of. And, you know, I can't say too much because I might be revealing what it is. But, yeah, you'll find out about the event the day of. And you actually have to meet at a particular location, set it up.
Flash dinner.
Yes.
Can I pop in and say I'm very excited to hear about this? I've been jealous about all the other cities all over the world that have been doing this. So please do and stay tuned because it's going to be.
I saw what you did there with the pop in. I like that.
And we've got the hookup. We got the hookup in the room.
We've got the hookup. So do I actually have to bring food or do I just show up? And
yes, you bring your own food. Okay. You bring your own tables, chairs.
Oh, so
we just tell you the location the last day and you just show up and we set it up and break it down, and then you're gone.
Wow.
That sounds awesome. We're going to have to be there, Jessica. We're going to make sure.
Well, we're connected now.
We are connected. The best job, part of my job is connected.
Right.
Well, that's awesome. Well, what's the rollout plan for Poplar?
So we're launching the beta version next month. So you'll definitely all get an invitation. And then the first version, you'll be able to kind of see pop-up experiences here locally and also other cities. So if you travel a lot, you could definitely find out about unique experiences in other markets. And then we have a feature that will allow you to demand pop-ups. So you can actually say, you know, I want to see a pop-up chef come to my city. And that will be coming around September of this year.
Oh, that is awesome. So are there any future features that you guys are going to have on there? Wow, this thing's so cool. I want to have it right now. Can I beta test it?
We could definitely sign you up. So if you're interested in being a beta user, you can email me at Rufin, R-U-F-I-N, at Poplar, P-O-P-P-L-R.co.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on and telling us about Poplar.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, Jessica, another great show.
Yeah.
How do you find these people? I know. I stay in my box all day, and she brings me these great people. This is the best connecting tool I could ever imagine right here. So I never have to leave.
I don't know. I mean, I meet people at networking events. I met Autumn at a great networking event a couple weeks ago. Yeah, a great wine tasting event.
Oh.
So I've known Gloria for quite some time now, actually. And I'm excited because I'm going to have Rufin come and speak at a Crave event that I have coming up as well, so he can educate some more on the pop-ups.
Well, you're everywhere. You keep me here so I don't embarrass you. You don't take me out to the events.
Every now and then.
Every now and then.
Hopefully more.
Before we wrap up, talk about your Adventurepreneurs group and how it's going and what's anything
it's,
new?
It's not anything really new. It's going really well. I did get signed on to a very cool event that I did want to quickly mention. And it's called FailCon. And it's coming to Atlanta November 16th. And FailCon is a conference for technology entrepreneurs, investors, developers, and designers to study their own and others' failures so that they can better prepare for their own success and teach the younger generation through their error. So I'm very excited to have been brought on as the planner for this conference. And again, it's going to be November 16th.
That sounds really good. I could have used that as a kid. Maybe I can go talk
about
some of my stuff.
I know. I feel the same way. That's why I feel really great about being a part of it.
Awesome.
Sure.
Well, thank you everyone for being on. It was a great show. We loved having you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah.
This is Kevin Finn for Jessica Park and our guest today and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Meeting Pros.